This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome, wrestling fans, to NWA Saturday Special. Hope everybody's having a great week. I'm your co-host, George Ribolino. And I'll tell you, we got a lot to talk about tonight. I mean, there is so much going on now. This is great. I hope everybody watched Primetime Live. If you didn't, maybe you'll want to watch it after we speak about it tonight. But I can't do it alone. I have to bring in my co-host. They call him the Podfather around here. Some people call him the boss.
You don't.
Scott Criscoll.
You don't call me the boss. You don't even call yourself by your own nickname. Maybe your real name is somewhere in Googleville. What do you think?
Well, you know, people. You know, you're right. I should have said my nickname of the show.
What are we going to do next? 718-937-6666. You know what? You could be on with that fucking derelict convict that shouldn't have gotten out of jail, and now he's going to get his own fucking talk show. The sleazebag. I feel bad for Evan Roberts.
Welcome to America.
Poor bastard. Anyway, hello. What's that?
I said welcome to America.
What's that? Yeah, pretty much. Flunkies and junkies. Welcome to the Saturday special for this week. Episode 7 of UWN Primetime Live went down this past Tuesday. It was good stuff, and they got a great show for episode 8, but as anticipated, it's the last episode of the bundle this coming Tuesday. So, you know, and it's election night, so regardless of what side of the fence you stand on, wrestling's probably better than anything anyway. So,
nothing's going to be solved anyway, but about that time,
yeah,
so you might as well watch.
You can stay up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It ain't even going to matter. So,
before we begin tonight, I really would love to talk about the new series on the NWA YouTube page with Nick Aldis and Tim Storm.
Oh, right. That did debut tonight. That's right.
Yeah, I know you weren't able to watch it yet because basically you came home from work not too long ago. So when you get a chance, it's 22 minutes. Watch it. It's part one. Some of the scenes were taken from the NWA 10 Pounds of Gold series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did a good job with that, and they intertwined some new stuff. I really like it. They, they end off where Aldis beats Tim Storm and in Philadelphia for CCW. I know you haven't seen it yet, but, you know, back watching that, you know, I did see that match, you know, 3 years ago. I've seen bits and pieces. But I look back on it, and it was so weird to have them be part of CZW. It's not easy to say, believe it or not.
I know.
They're very hardcore, you know, that old school, even take it a level above ECW. And when you watch it, you watch pieces of it, and the wonder why they have, like, music behind it, the crowd's dead. You know, that they weren't into that. You know, it was a regular wrestling match. I mean, even when Aldis won the championship, you know, you'd see some people, like, jump up from the crowd. And again, you haven't seen it. So when you see it next, you know, maybe you could speak about it next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, that just jumped out at me for whatever reason. I forgot that he had lost it on a CZW show. So, but I think it's really well done. It's 22 minutes, the first version. You know, they have their Manscaped commercial in between, you know, Nick Aldis. I want to take care of your national treasures.
You take care of your national treasures.
But yeah, no, it was, it's really well done. It was so nice to see something from the NWA. We're seeing NWA guys on AEW, I guess we're seeing Thunder Rosa on AEW, and we're seeing, the guys on, Primetime Live, UWN, but it was so nice to see something produced by the NWA. I just got my juices flowing tonight. So if you haven't had a chance, get on the YouTube page, NWA, subscribe to the page, by the way, and click on that video and you will enjoy it. It's 22 minutes. You can watch it at any time. It's a really good watch. And again, it's nice to see some NWA, produce stuff, in-house.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in a while. So
yeah,
that's my version awesome. Of it. I can't wait for you to see it so you could tell me about what you think about it.
Yeah, no, I definitely will check it out this weekend. I agree with you. I think, like I said, we talk about it every week that we think that Billy's just sitting like under his, his Chicago apartment making music and letting UWN do all the work. As a matter of fact, on the opposite side of it, Doctor, and on the UWN's YouTube channel, you get a 20-minute snapshot of the first 20 minutes, or maybe it was 30 minutes. It was about 25 minutes, I think, of UWN Primetime Live behind the scenes. You see Dave Marquez, in the TD slot, the technical director slot, counting down the slate and, calling the camera angles and everything. It was pretty fascinating. So if you go to the UWN YouTube channel, I think it dropped today, Friday, earlier in the day. Check it out. It's kind of cool. It tells you how what they're doing behind the scenes because, they've...
I think everybody likes to see that a little bit every once in a while. Again, kayfabe's gone, so it's nice to see how it all comes together, and especially these smaller promotions that are really trying to, they're not going to be AEW and WWE. It's a little bit of an alternative, and that's what I like about it. It's like it's a little gritty, but at the same time, it's more polished. Indie promotions used to not be as polished. I mean, I think that. Because of the way technology is today, I do think that the company seem a little bit more polished. And like I said, with this series with Tim Storm and Nick Aldis, I mean, just two guys I really, really enjoy. Two guys that are the pillars of the new NWA. And, you kind of like both of them at the same time, even though, Aldis is really kind of the heel. You gain a lot of respect when you watch a video like this and you see how hard they work and how much they care about the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And that's something that I really enjoy. And I can't tell people enough to make sure you go watch that video. If you're dying for some NWA produced stuff, this will give you a little taste.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I'll definitely check that out, and please everybody else check it out. But go to the UWN YouTube page and check it out. It's like the first 20 minutes of this past week's episode. And you see Dave Marquez behind the scenes,
being
the technical director. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Speaking of UWN Primetime Live, why don't we talk about it? Episode 7 was this past week. The production continues to be better. As a matter of fact, we had the promos again from our good friends, the Bodega, and everybody that was involved in the
game. I love the Bodega. I really do.
All those guys are good. One guy's name's Bit Fat Boy, and it's so great. And our man Danny Limelight, our pal. We're still trying to get him for the show. Still working on it. Of course, the two highlight matches this week were, the first, the first, UWN World Title Tournament quarterfinal match between your boy, Chris Dickinson, and the librarian, Peter Avalon. And of course, the big one, the one that was supposed to be back on, I think it was episode 2 of Primetime Live, but one of these two had to quarantine. So the match happened here, our women's world champion, my girl. Thunder Rosa taking on Serena Deeb. Now, remember, that match was supposed to happen back in week 2 of Primetime Live, but Serena Deeb, something happened in AEW or something, and she had to quarantine for 10 days. So Priscilla Kelly took her place, and Thunder Rosa retained her title, but it was a really good match. It's Thunder Rosa. When does she not have a good match? She's just amazing. She really is amazing. So those were the highlight matches this week. So we go into the studio. We have our usual guys, Todd and I always forget the other announcer's name. And then the other guy who I call Great Value, Tony Schiavone. Todd Kennelly. But I don't like the fact we don't have Joe. The one thing I think that annoys me right now is I'd like to have an NWA presence. Maybe. I just wish we had a more – and I thought we had it tonight on commentary, but we'll get to that in a minute. I thought we would have a NWA presence on commentary, and we haven't so far. But we haven't so far, and that's kind of annoying me. Nothing is Todd Kennelly's. You know, he's an alum from WWE, did NXT for a little bit. Just not my – I just wish we had like a – You know, I miss Stu Bennett and those guys, you know. Hell, even get Cornette. What the fuck? I mean, you know. Anyway, so our first match of the night.
She's a heel.
Our first match of the night is our first title match. We actually had two title matches tonight. The Hollywood Heritage Championship. Now, the reason I know this belt is the weekend before the premiere episode of Primetime Live debuted back in September – I watched that weekend's episode of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which they still shoot, by the way. They still do weekend shows. And this guy, Ray Rosas, defeated Watts for the Hollywood Heritage Championship in an upset. That's why I remember this. And for the first time in the Primetime Live era, we see Ray Rosas. So we had a Rosa and a Rosas wrestling tonight. So Ray Rosas would defend his Hollywood Heritage Championship against Kevin Martinson. And apparently these two have had a feud in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So, again, a fun match. You know what's funny, Dr. Gene? And this match is an example of it. I'm getting to the point now, and I hate to say this, and I'm going to talk about it. This is a topic that we've talked about continuously on the main event with Steve and Nate. And I'm going to bring it up again this coming week's episode. That other team who doesn't know who you are. They think you're small potatoes. They think you're UWN to their AEW. Just to let you know. We're talking about I see the belt in the distance right there. 6 minute
time. I got mine right.
The trying to grade a match or hard to decide whether a match worked or not without a crowd. Because a crowd is really the report card. Don't you think? I mean, you and I have been wrestling fans for a long time. You know, some of us older fans here at Place to Be Nation, you, me, Steve Willie, Johnny D, John D'Amato. You know, we've been fans for, you know, a long time, deep into the 80s. And, you know, you got like, you know, my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, and some others who started watching in the early 90s. But we've all been fans for a long time. And we all know, for the most part, that you could tell if a match is working by the crowd.
No doubt.
If the crowd's flat, the match isn't working. If the crowd's hot, the match is working.
That's what you're trying to do.
You know?
As a wrestler, that was that's what you're taught to do, is to get the crowd going. You knew if it was a stinker or if it was a good match by the crowd. And whether you're a good heel or you know, a good baby face, you judge that. It's very hard right now. You know, I was listening to an interview on a podcast with Brody Lee, and he was saying, you know, now being in AEW, that they're almost getting to a point now, they're, you know, like he was getting used to without the crowd, that he says, wow, it's going to be almost more nerve-wracking now when the crowd comes back, because that energy that you get from a crowd, it really jacks you up. And now you're starting to get used to the way things are now. You know, it's again, anything in life, stuff becomes routine. So it's, you know, these guys now are getting, obviously these guys and gals are getting more used to it now. But I still think they miss that crowd. There's something about that crowd, the crowd that gives you that energy. I mean, you've heard Stone Cold say it, and, you know, even Undertaker, you know, you when you came out and you felt that crowd, that right. It gave you that energy and that jolt. Remember those guys, you know, when they were traveling 6-7 days a week, but they said, you know, once you got through that curtain, that crowd just gave you that extra energy that you needed, because you wanted to perform to your highest level to satisfy your fans. And right now it's very hard. You know, you're kind of talking into a TV screen if you can, or You know, you don't, you know, you know what you're doing when you're doing a match, but you don't know if it's getting over or not. So it's very hard. You don't know if you're doing the right thing. And yes, you have agents that could tell you, but even if an agent tells you, again, the big judge of how you're doing is going to come from the crowd. Now, you're going to get some crowds that are just, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. But for the most part, it's a very, very important part. And again, these matches are getting very tough. I mean, we were saying the other night, we're like, as much as we're enjoying it because, you know, it's something different with the UWN, what they're mm-hmm. trying to do. But we just miss that crowd. It's just – it's not – I don't feel like – I'm not saying we don't sit and watch it, but you don't feel as glued to it as if you were watching it with a crowd.
True. Right. And, no, I agree. I agree.
You know, and it's harder. It's
and
harder.
Again, it felt like.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say, it felt like the match was telling a good story. I think Rosas and Martinson obviously have been in a feud.
They have a history. You could tell.
They have a history. So there's chemistry there. Now, there was a great move where Martinson tried to do a plancha over the top rope onto their Maple Leaf Gardens ramp in the back there. Rosas missed. Rosas rolled out of the way, and he smacked hard on that wood. I mean, hard. And
he's feeling that today.
Oh, he definitely is. And this was 3 days ago.
Or Wednesday, I should say. Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, probably feeling it today, too.
Yeah. And he – now, if there was a crowd there, that move would have probably brought a pop.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It's difficult to try and really gauge whether these guys are really working a crowd without a crowd. So
I give these guys a lot of credit. I mean, you have to give all the wrestlers a lot of credit because you know what? The crowd is what makes it all sports. I mean, even, you know, it just shows you the kind of professionals that they are, even in, you know, baseball, football. You feed off that crowd. I don't care. I know some people say, oh, they block it out or whatever. Nah, you may block out to a certain extent, but mm-hmm. there's nothing like when you're coming out, especially in wrestling, and you come out and you feel that energy of the crowd. And when you have the crowd in the palm of your hands or you're doing some great ring psychology and you know it's getting over, that's going to be a joy when you with the person you're working with in the ring knowing, wow, we're over. Right. We're doing our thing. That, you know, this is what they love. And, you know, when you come back to, you know, back to backstage or through the gorilla and you're going, you know, and you got everybody going thumbs up or, you know, but it's really hard now. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen because obviously agents are looking for things and they could see things probably better than we could because we've never been in the business and they could judge them on that. But it's very hard when you're out there and you're trying to get over your gimmick. And, you know, there's nobody to feed off of.
Right. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure every podcast talks about this. I'm sure everybody's probably tired of hearing of it, you know, but it's there, you know, until we get some crowds back where, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to do the best we can. That's why we're trying to do the best we can to try to break it down. And you know, what the UWN is doing is this is their opportunity. Because I think in regular times, they may get a little lost because, you know, the world's a little different. But now where you have a little bit more attention on things and people are looking for something different, mm-hmm. here's your chance to make a statement.
Right. Yeah. And Rosas hits his finisher, which is kind of like almost like a backcracker. And he retains his Hollywood Heritage Championship. So no title change there, but a fun match. Then we had a really fun tag with a bunch of brawlers, the Real Money Brothers, you know, against who's kind of like, you know, our Street Profits and against the Bodega.
I love it.
Those guys are awesome. Our man Danny Limelight and Fat Boy. Really hashtag good match.
Fat Boy.
Hashtag Fat Boy. Yep. Really fun match. The Bodega gets the win. Again, kind of a brawl. We've been very impressed with Danny Limelight. And again, we're trying to get him here on the show. You know, he looks good in wins. He looks good in losses. It doesn't matter. He just looks good. And
You know, the great teamwork. Both teams. You know, I like the psychology. I like, you know, cutting the ring in half, trying to do their thing. Both teams really, do a pretty good job at that. It was a fun little tag team match. I pretty much figured probably the Bodega would go over, and they did. But I like the Real Money Brothers though too. You know, I think I like the gimmick. But yeah, people probably say it's a kind of a ripoff of Crime Time or Street Profits, but that's all right.
You know
everything
what?
In wrestling's a ripoff at one point or another.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it depends how you promote it, but you could have the same gimmick with a different twist. Right. And the Real Money Brothers are just like Crime Time or Street Profits or anybody like that. But they've been they're a fun team to watch. They had a good back and forth. And one thing I've noticed, Doctor, a lot of heavy guys, like big dudes, like hashtag Fat Boy, as well as Robin Shaw, our pal there in the Friendship Farm. Big dudes, but they actually move pretty smooth. I mean, we're not talking like, you know, Yoko or Bam Bam Bigelow level of movement, but more than I thought they'd be. And he moves pretty well for a guy his size. Danny Limelight's a stud. We know that for a fact. And the Bodega gets the win. So, you know, we've had SoCal Distancing is our UWN tag team champions. And, you know, the UWN is really trying to boost their tag division. And every week we get at least one tag match, maybe two, depending on how the week's laid out. So the tag division is trying to get its feet under it. And we'll see what happens. But SoCal Distancing is still your tag team champions. They weren't on this week, but maybe the Bodega gets the next title shot. We'll see.
That'd be nice. I'd like to see that match.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. So we're in between. We go to the announcing table. And the three guys are chatting, talking about the upcoming. Because our last two matches are amazing. And all of a sudden.
Little NWA flavor here.
Little NWA flavor here. When he walked up, I'm like, oh, thank God. Maybe they'll get rid of Great Value Tony Schiavone. But here comes our former third degree national champion, Shooter Stevens, Aaron Stevens, who pulls up his own chair, goes on this whole rant, cuts an amazing fun promo, and then talks about
he can't come over because of
COVID. So question mark is quarantined in Monrovia. The fact that we still have that storyline made me smile when you and I were watching this tonight.
We thought it was gone, so it's back. I love it.
It's great. So he is quarantining in Monrovia.
Going on and on. I love it.
So the security tries to get rid of him, and then the stage manager, this came out of fucking nowhere. The stage manager deck gets clocked by Aaron Stevens with a chair, and then he cuts a promo lying on the ground. Aaron Stevens saying he wants a shot. So now here we are again. Now I'm confused. He wants a shot at Eli Drake and James Storm's NWA World's Tag Team Championship. And I look at you and I go, isn't James Storm gone? Because those who don't know, James Storm actually showed up last weekend at Impact's Bound for Glory pay-per-view. He showed up at the Battle Royal.
I didn't see anything online. I'll have to look again. I didn't see anything online.
Maybe that was just a one shot and Impact was just paying him to. So I'm very confused. So I'm like, oh, are they champs? Are they not champs? You know, Eli Drake doesn't carry his belt. He's been on TV a couple times on Primetime Live, has not been holding the World Tag Team belt. Although when you're not promoted as such, usually guys don't carry the belt around. So I don't know. So now Aaron Stevens says that Eli Drake and James Storm are still our NWA World's Tag Team Champions. So I guess they are. I mean, you know what I mean, Dr. G? I don't even know what the hell to, you know.
Do you want to be the third degree world?
I know, that's going to be the third degree world tag team champions. I'm excited about that.
Who do you
though.
Think what his partner will be, though? That's
Oh, I think his partner will be. It sounds like he's alluding to getting the question mark across the Indian Red Sea, Salt Sea Ocean to Monrovia to get the question mark. Karate. I missed question mark. He's so great. Then we get a vignette, and I'm like, holy shit. Primetime Live, really? Fucking UWN's really sparing no expense. We get a vignette for the upcoming debut of Eric Redbeard, complete with pirate ships. Of course, Eric Redbeard, for those who don't know, is, of course, Eric Rowan from WWE, from the Wyatt family. So that was kind of cool. I'm like, wow, like a vignette? Holy shit, what is this, Superstars? So that was pretty cool. I was pumped about that. Next up, and I mentioned it earlier, the match that we've been looking forward to for weeks. We were supposed to get it back at episode 2 of Primetime Live, but the challenger had to quarantine, so someone stepped in her place. But on Tuesday night, it happened. Our NWA Women's World Champion, of course, our girl, should have been in the top 10 in the PWI, Thunder Rosa, taking on Serena Deeb. And yes, Serena Deeb had to quarantine for 10 days back the week that she was supposed to wrestle her. And Thunder Rosa, as I mentioned, ended up wrestling Priscilla Kelly, who also was in the top 100, by the way. And great match. Thunder Rosa retained the title. I was looking forward to this match. For those that may not know who Serena Deeb is, if you remember back in 2009, 2010, 2011, when CM Punk and WWE was doing the Straight Edge Society storyline, remember the woman with the shaved head? That was Serena
Yes.
Deeb. That was Serena Deeb. So she's been in the biz for a while. She's no stranger. And we ended up having a pretty damn good women's world title match. Thunder Rosa was dominating early. She was, you know, she was really laying it into to Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb then started working on Thunder Rosa's leg. And just a back and forth. And I mean, Thunder Rosa controls a ring. I mean, she is the definition of a ring general. She controls the ring, yes, controls the match. And Serena Deeb, they were doing a dance Tuesday night that was just magic to my eyes. And then, if you want to, for those that can relate to this reference, hearkening back to Diesel versus Bret Hart from their world title match at the 1995 Survivor Series, Thunder Rosa was about to go for something, and Serena Deeb rolls her up out of nowhere for the 1, 2, 3. And Thunder Rosa's reign as NWA Women's World Champion that started way back in January at Hot Times is now over. Serena Deeb is your new NWA Women's World Champion. She cut a nice promo after the match. She paid her respects to Thunder Rosa. They shook hands after. Two things, Dr. G, we'll discuss here. Number one, what'd you think of the match? And number two, before Billy kind of squelched the rumors on Twitter a couple of days later, she's obviously not going to any of the other promotions. But if she had a choice and you were her agent, would you direct her to WWE/NXT? Keep that in mind. Or would you direct her to AEW? First off, what'd you think of the match?
Well, I thought the match was great. I mean, this is another match, you know, not to belabor the point, that would have been great to have a crowd.
I agree.
Because, you have two ladies that know what they're doing in the ring. And again, the belt meant something. They made that be like, oh my gosh, she really, yep. Serena wants that belt. She wants to be the champion. Thunder Rosa wants to remain the champion. It's an important championship, and that's what I love. And that I love when the belts mean something. So that's very big to me, and that's why I'm not as big a fan of WWE as I used to be, because to me it's like the belts are like toys. That doesn't mean anything like it used to. Now, in regards to where she would go, Thunder Rosa, if she had to choose between the two companies – I mean, I want her to stay NWA, which looks like from what Billy said, she'll be here through until 2022. So we'll see. Obviously, things could always change. But I would say if she wants to have more opponents, WWE would probably be the place to go to. But with that being said, she could get lost in the shuffle there. I know you don't want to hear this, but I think she could be the leader of the AEW women and bring that division up to where it needs to be. I mean, they have to add some more women to the roster, don't get me wrong. But if you could start with somebody like her, that will give AEW the more of the credibility that they've been looking for as a women's division.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously the two biggest women free agents right now in wrestling are Thunder Rose. Well, not free agents, but the two most coveted women in professional wrestling that aren't in a major promotion are Thunder Rosa and Tessa Blanchard. I like both. I love Thunder Rosa. I like Tessa Blanchard. I think she needs to grow up a little. Whatever yes. she's been alleged has to have done, her immaturity professionally still is well documented. Her personality quirks are alleged. We don't do that here on the Saturday special, but she's one that people would be looking out for. The question would be, would she want to go to NXT? I wouldn't even say Raw or SmackDown. Would she go to NXT, make a decent amount of money, and take on literally the best in the world? The EOs, the Mia Yims, the Rhea Ripley's, Candice LeRae's, you know, Shotzi Blackheart's, like all of, you know, and then eventually go up to the big time and take on the Baileys, the Sashas, the Charlottes, the Beckys, you know, all the Askas. Oh my God, Thunder Rosa and Asuka, sign me the fuck up.
That would be a great match. No, she, like I said, if she
or well, let me finish. Or would she make killer money? Because we know that Tony Khan would overpay for her. Would pay for her. Well, you know, not overpay, because that means that that would mean she doesn't deserve it, and she definitely does. She would get paid heavily in AEW. Yeah, she'd be the top dog, but the talent pool in AEW is not great. But she would be the top dog. She would be the you know, like Undertaker. She'd be the dog in the yard. But other than Hikaru Shida and maybe Big Swole, the talent in the AEW women's division is pretty thin.
It is thin. I mean, I think if they were looking to advance that division, now again, a lot of things are probably on hold for both companies because of what's going on. But if you really want to, if I were Tony Khan and you really, really want to bring up the women's division to another level, you have to start with somebody like Thunder Rosa, because if you sign Thunder Rosa, then you may have others that want to follow along. WWE, she could be a star in WWE. Mm-hmm. She could be right up there with the Sashas and the you know, the Charlotte Flairs, and I mean, she's that good.
Yeah, she is.
But, you know, just, you know, how many top spots do you have left, you know, in WWE? I mean, listen, the WWE women's division is second to none. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I wanted to stay in NWA, but I understand on a personal level, you know, you want to – people listen, a lot of people's dreams are to be in the WWE when they're kids. You know, obviously AEW wasn't around when most people were younger. So, because it's a new company. So, I don't know. If I were her, that would be a tough decision. Now, if all things were created equal and both companies were offering the same money, you'd have to go with the WWE. I mean, but if... Listen, I don't care what anybody says. You're in it for the love of the game. But let me tell you, you want to put that food on your table, you want to give yourself financial security, you're going to go where the money is.
Yep.
I don't care who you are. Now, if it's somebody that's made a lot of money already and they're looking for like their last big contract or another, you know, and, you know, they may want to go where they would be happier, because they made the money already. But Thunder Rosa, I mean, I don't know her financial situation, but I'm sure, you know, she's not up there with some of the other major women, and I'm sure she eventually wants to make that top money. So here's, you know, you go where you think you could make the most money. And then, you know, you're hoping that both companies are still going to be around, which, you know, we know WWE will. If AEW is around another, you know, 5 years, then you can move back and forth. You know, I miss that. That's the one thing we used to love when we were kids, right? Who was coming from the NWA to WWE and vice versa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, AWA. I mean, we're going to get that in coming years if things,
you know, once things could hopefully get back to normal. I know we keep saying that. I think we're all just getting tired of all this. But I think when things do get somewhat back to normal, I think as the companies grow or AEW grows, I mean, WWE doesn't need to really grow anymore, but that you're going to see people jumping ship and going, you know, from one to the other. And that's kind of fun. I miss those days.
Yeah, who doesn't? Absolutely. You know? Yeah, no, I agree. And Serena Deeb, I think, defended the NWA title this past Wednesday on Dynamite. So that, yeah, that's cool.
I mean, it's given the NWA title is getting exposure. Whether you like AEW or you don't like it, it's on national television and it's getting some exposure. And they're making that belt seem important.
Sure. I agree.
And I love it. I love the fact that the NWA is getting some pub somewhere.
Sure. I agree.
They're keeping it alive as best as they can. I know there's some people out there that are probably saying, oh, that's a dead brand. It's been a dead brand, whatever. Well, that's your business. That's what you think. You know, there's a little small crew out here that of diehards that love the NWA and will always love the NWA, and we'll support it as long as, you know, Billy's still in charge. And, you know, I don't want to say if somebody else is in charge, I wouldn't, because we don't know who that person would be. But I think Billy's doing a pretty good job considering that he's not a wrestling, you know, that's not his number one business, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I agree. So, but a great match. And again, she had
like
the belt.
Eric Bischoff now.
She had the belt.
Get these long-winded answers.
So there we go. We'll see what the future holds for Thunder Rosa over the next couple of months. This could be a short-lived title reign, and she wins the NWA World Title back. Who knows?
Who knows? We were talking the other night, real quick, because you know we're belt junkies. I understand where they were going with the NWA belt to kind of make it look like the Moolah belt from years past, but I don't know. I mean,
well,
I know
we're used to we're used to sexier looking belts.
I tell you, I like that UWN championship though.
They keep it on a podium in the top of the ramp. Speaking of the NWA World Title, let's go to our last match of the night, the first quarterfinal.
Yeah,
in the UWN World Championship tournament, and that is the Librarian Peter Avalon coming over from AEW. Shh. To take on your boy, Stone Cold Chris Dickinson. No, he's not Stone Cold. Dirty Daddy Chris Dickinson, who says he finally got a real opponent. Now, you were funny when we were watching this match because you said, where you agree with Vince about like big guys wrestling little guys. Peter Avalon probably weighs about, I don't know, 190. Chris Dickinson probably weighs about
like 180, didn't they, or something?
I thought it was 192, but maybe it was less.
Okay.
Some in that neighborhood. What's 10 pounds with a guy that small? And Chris Dickinson probably weighs, I don't know, maybe 250, 255.
Right.
And he's ripped. I mean, he's in good shape. And Peter Avalon, you're thinking to yourself, Peter Avalon's going to get folded up like a lawn chair. And Peter Avalon actually gave him a pretty good match. What I liked about the match, though, Dr. G, is that it wasn't like he was trying to, like, you know, he was a power bombing him and he wasn't doing stupid moves. He kept him grounded. He early in the match, Chris Dickinson's leg was around, you know, the post in the corner, and Peter Avalon did the whole loud chair shot on the post to make it sound like he hit him in the leg, and he kept, you know, he did what a little guy would do with a big guy, keep him on the ground.
Well,
so
exactly.
I thought psychology wise, it worked. I thought it made perfect sense.
It does. You have to. You can't have these much smaller guys doing power moves. I hate when I see that. It's not realistic. You have to. You know, the one thing we love, you know, from years ago is that they tried to make things look as realistic as you could. I mean, obviously, there's certain things. You know, it's theater of the mind. But I like the way they did this, because I did critique it at first, but then when I watched the match and I saw the psychology, I was like, well, they did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. And you know, and Dickinson didn't exactly like dominate the win, you know, like he was doing on previous shows.
Correct.
So it showed a little bit that, you know, he's going to have a tougher time. He wants the better competition, so he's going to have a tougher time in this tournament.
And, you know, I thought he should have went up to the camera and went, shh.
I know. That would have been great.
Because he's just so arrogant. I love it.
So, but yeah, Dickinson recovered, you know, hit some big moves. Peter Avalon tried to keep going. It was a good back and forth of the last little bit of the match, but Chris Dickinson gets the win, hits a bitchin' clothesline. Oh my God, it was almost like a JBL lariat. Clothesline from hell. He crushed Peter Avalon with this clothesline and got the win. So Chris Dickinson moves on to the semifinals of the UWN World Title Tournament. And before we went off the air, Todd and the guys gave you the card for next week. So, of course, Doctor, before we talk about next week, your thoughts on this past week's episode.
I enjoyed it. It was actually one of my favorite episodes. I love it. We had a little NWA flavor with the Women's World Title match with Aaron Stevens showing up. So that kind of, you know, just that a little break in the action a little bit, kind of like, you know, let's show the announcers, you know, how like, you know, they would normally go to the interview stage on at the GPB studio. So it kind of gave me a little bit of that flavor. And overall, I thought the wrestling on pretty much, I didn't think there was any stinker matches.
No, all four matches were really good.
I really liked the psychology in the Pete Avalon and Chris Dickinson match, which at first I was not really totally looking forward to when I, you know, I mean, I always knew Peter Avalon, but when you saw him next to Chris Dickinson, you know, how, you know, much smaller he looked. Now, when I say small, not in terms of height, just, you know,
the body. 50 pounds lighter, but yeah.
He did a great job with the ring psychology and him trying to keep the big guy, get him off his feet. So great old school psychology. Mm-hmm. I think Jake the Snake would be very proud. So overall, I say it's a good show. I'm going to say B+, A- right there on this show. And I haven't been able to say that, you know, some, you know, what was it, a few weeks ago, I was like, I was kind of ambivalent to it, but I really enjoyed this week's show.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. This coming week, episode 8, they stacked this episode, but as I said to you earlier in the night, this is the last episode of this bundle. So they're expecting, obviously, people to want to buy episodes 9 through 12 the following week, which we will anyway, because we like the show. But for those that are, you know, maybe not sure, you can buy episode 8 this week coming Tuesday for one price. I think it's $8 if you use Fight TV. And then of course they want you to bundle episodes 9 through 12. So obviously this episode, just like episode 4, is a big one. And we got five, it looks like we're gonna have at least five matches. Heather Monroe will be back in action. Be her third match on a primetime live. She had to eat a pin to Camille a few weeks ago, and then she won her next match. I think it was last week she was on. And all of the remaining quarterfinal matches in the UWN title tournament will be next week. So Eric Redbeard, who we saw in the vignette, will take on Watts, and the winner of that match will take on Chris Dickinson in the semifinals. And on the other side of the bracket, Fred Rosser, our man Fred Rosser, taking on the kid from the New Japan LA Dojo, Carl Fredericks. I'm looking forward to that match. And then the match you and I are very polarized on. That is Baby Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith Jr., taking on Mike Bennett. I like Mike Bennett in this match. You like Baby Bulldog in this match.
I do.
And I think
it's like Mike Bennett, match. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, I do. We talked a lot about it last week when we did our
Mike Bennett needs to be a heel.
He was a pretty good heel in ROH.
The reason why I think he's going to lose, I think he's going to get frustrated. He's going to lose and he's going to get frustrated. And I have a feeling he may get involved, even though I think Davey Boy is going to win the championship because that's the guy he lost to. So this is totally prediction and may not totally come true. Maybe it's just me wanting to book something. I think when Davey Boy wins, however it's going to happen, Bennett's going to get frustrated,
and he's going to try to get involved when Davey Boy, because I have Davey Boy in the finals, but he's going to inadvertently do something to cost. I had him going against Dickinson, I think, in the finals. So
yep,
yeah, he'll cost Dickinson the match. Even though that's who he was trying to help because he's pissed off at Davey Boy, you know, just old school booking. This is my old school mind coming in. And then setting up a championship, a future championship match with Davey Boy. That's going to be Davey Boy's first opponent, will be Mike Bennett. That's just my prediction. I could be totally way off base, but
Davey Boy.
What do you think? You like my little booking?
Only if Slick cuts a promo. Only if Slick cuts a promo with the Warlord on Davey Boy Smith Jr., like he did with British Bulldog at WrestleMania. No? Oh, okay. Damn it! Cut a good promo on
you like Bulldog. You like doing all your impersonations, don't you?
Dave! And I was just impersonating Slick. Good promo, though. Yeah, no, I like your little scenario. I don't think it's going to come true, because I don't know how permanent Davey Boy Smith Jr. is.
Maybe I'm overthinking it all.
It'd be fun. I like your story. I like the creative. I like it. I don't know if it's true, but I think Mike Bennett's going to make it to the final and lose to Chris Dickinson. That's my thing. But anyway, all three of those matches, the remaining quarterfinal matches, will be this coming Tuesday on episode 8 of Primetime Live. Heather Monroe will be back in action. But the big shocker, and this is some get, let me tell you, for Primetime Live and for UWN, this coming Tuesday.
I know you are marking out.
Because I'm stuck. Because I liked him in. He was a good manager for Bobby Lashley, former cruiserweight champion. I think you know who I'm talking about. Leo Rush will be making his Primetime Live debut. Yeah, we'll be making it. I wonder if. Yeah, we'll be making his Primetime Live debut this Tuesday. I was pumped. I'm like, wow, this is like a. When was the last time we saw like a legit WWE guy? Well, pretty stunned. His real name, I'm surprised he could use Leo Rush. His real name is Lionel Gerard Green. I mean, this kid is a stud. He's 25. He's married with two kids. He's 25. So he is like literally just entering his prime. And
wow.
He had a good run in WWE, but he wanted to kind of branch out and kind of go back to his indie roots. And he will be, he's been, let's see, he managed Bobby Lashley. He was in ROH where he won the 2016 Top Prospect Tournament. He was in CZW where he won their world title once and their Wired Championship.
It's not easy to say when you say it fast.
CZ, Combat Zone Wrestling, CZW. So Leo Rush will be making his UWN Primetime Live debut this Tuesday. So, again, as no surprise, since it is the last episode of this bundle and they want you to buy, you know, episodes 9 through 12, this week's episode is loaded. And you know what? We win. So Heather Monroe will be in action. Or what?
I said we will. Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we were. And all three of the remaining three world title tournament quarterfinal matches will be happening. So Eric Redbeard will take on Watts. The winner of that match will face Chris Dickinson in the semis. And then on the other side of the bracket, Carl Fredericks versus Fred Rosser. And the highly anticipated match that you and I are divided on, Baby Bulldog himself, Davey Boy Smith Jr. taking on Mike Bennett.
It's gonna be a great show. And, you know, going back a little bit to the Leo Rush, and you were saying, you know, he wanted to go back to his indie roots. I feel bad for these guys that chose this last year. You know, some of these guys, you know, after a while, maybe things are not working out in WWE. I mean, I don't know if really anybody's left at AEW, but because they want, you know, because honestly, guys are making a great living on the indies now. There's so many good indie promotions.
You're right.
And then to have the world shut down on them, like trying to take that risk. Listen, remember Cody took that risk.
Yeah, he did.
You know, imagine if he would have taken it, you know, just say, you know, things were all different and he took it, you know, last year and took that risk. It would have been very hard.
Oh.
You know, you have to say, I mean, he was very, very successful. He made a nice living.
Yeah.
You know, getting away from the WWE and then, you know, doing the one night stand and all that stuff. And here he is now. So
there's a lot of there was a lot of opportunity out there. We just got to hope that some of these indie promotions could come back.
Sure.
Because it's nice to see these guys have places to work. And it also helps the two big companies too, because even though there's a performance center and there's NXT for WWE and AEW right now is just using, you know, indie guys. Well, you need feeder systems. And I don't think AEW is going to create something like WWE did right off the bat. That took WWE how many years to create something like an NXT and a performance center?
Absolutely.
You know,
it was a lifelong thing for Vince to have like his own training facility,
his own minor league,
and his own minor league too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people actually prefer NXT right now.
You know, the NXT wrestling is better. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, I think it's. I don't really consider it minor league anymore. I think now it's its own brand. But in the eyes of WWE, it was kind of like, you know, SmackDown used to be the B show and Raw was the A show. You know. So they're kind of like the C show, but but I think the talent is, I mean, they're still going to use their talent to get them over when they sign somebody new. They're going to try them out in NXT. So right. It's a good place to get your feet wet.
Yep, absolutely.
But it'd be interesting to see, you know, as we get through this, hopefully, and we start seeing crowds come back, you know, seeing some of these indie promotions coming back because it's nice because we're seeing, like, in the UWN, look at how many guys now. I'm learning all these indie talent that I probably, unless I was just reading about it here and there, I wouldn't have probably watched. So it's I'm enjoying being able to see some new talent as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, we, you know, like I said, we've kind of attached ourselves as fans to some of these UWN guys, and who knows? Maybe they take the next step, go to Ring of Honor, and, you know, who knows?
Exactly.
Fred Rosser's.
Hey, I remember watching him when we watched those, you know, UWN shows. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, Ring of Honor needs guys. You know, we're talking, that's a little different. We're talking West Coast, East Coast. That's a long hike.
I mean, I hope these pay-per-views are doing good. I mean, listen, they're not going to get buy rates like a WWE or AEW.
Aren't insane. Monthlies. These aren't mega pay-per-views. It's just a bi-weekly show.
If you haven't purchased one yet and you're looking for some like a good tournament and some tournament matches, buy next week because there's going to be some good matches.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Yep. So, So this coming Tuesday, episode 8, and we'll recap it for you next weekend. That'll do it for this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. Of course, it's been a great week here on the PTB Wrestling Network. Busy week. Ryan and Cindy had the newest episode of With This Ring. I think they did some Halloween Havoc matches. One episode I'm very looking much forward to, our man Drew and Jordan with the newest episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack. They actually watched, and Jordan had never watched it before, his friend, Taker versus Shawn from WrestleMania 25, which is one of my favorite matches ever. I think it was on my top three on my WWE ballot. So that's going to be very interesting. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. And, of course, the newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone.
Great stuff coming up.
Yeah, great stuff. And then this weekend, if you're listening to this on Saturday, later today, there might be a surprise on the feed. A little Halloween surprise. It is Halloween today. Happy Halloween. If you're nobody's trick-or-treating, really. Is anybody doing anything today? I guess enjoy your parties if you're doing that.
Well, make sure you have your coffee when you're listening to us, though.
Morning coffee, we always say. Yes, always have coffee. But, you know, it's Halloween. Coffee. It is Halloween today, but there might be a little treat. Not a trick, but a treat here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network feed later today. A treat. And tomorrow, the first day of November, after scheduling snafus all over the place, I believe maybe a new episode of Jenny and the Gems. So, fun episode, by the way, too. We had a good time with what we watched this month. So, and then this coming week, brand new episode of Place to Be Podcast. JR and myself will be with Pete Winson. We'll be doing the April 27th, 91 Saturday night's main event. So stay tuned for that. We will have a new episode of Main Event. Steve, Nate, and I will talk. Actually, next Saturday, Speaking of AEW, is Full Gear, their next big pay-per-view. So we will be previewing AEW Full Gear this coming Thursday.
Oh, you'll be all fired up for that one, I'm sure.
I will, but like, you know, I want to, before we go, before we head out the door, I do want to say something about AEW. It sucked. No, I'm only kidding. No, AEW did something today, this week that I didn't think they were going to do, and you know, for me, this is actually a pretty big deal. So I'm giving a thumbs up to AEW for what they did this week.
Whoa, I think I'm going to fall off my chair.
Yep, they're selling DVDs. DVDs. Wow. So their first five pay-per-views are on DVD now. There's single disc DVDs for last year's Full Gear and Evolution. I guess it was Revolution. Evolution is NXT. Revolution. Then All Out 2019. And I don't think it was 2020. Maybe it was 2020. And both the 2019 and 2020 Double or Nothings. So I think five pay-per-views you can get on DVD from AEW.
That's so, kind of cool.
So, you know, who knows? Maybe the Podfather has a little AEW section. I don't know.
Wow, is he going to add an AEW? Wow, this is big time stuff going on here.
Maybe not.
Before we go off, I'd be remiss in saying that we lost another one in the wrestling family.
Yeah, this week. We lost a member of the FBI.
And a Southern boy.
Yeah. Tracy Smothers passed away at the age of 58. As a matter of fact, our good friend, Mr. Rotella, right? He was 58?
58, yep.
58, yeah. I think did he have cancer? He had been sick for a while.
He did. He had lymphoma. Yeah, he got he got sick. He got diagnosed back in November of 19, so... Happened pretty quick. Like I mentioned the other day, I heard him on a podcast interview. I think it was during COVID, so it was definitely within the last 3 months, because they were asking about, like, you know, was he able to go out, and he says he really wasn't able to go out, that kind of stuff.
Right.
He had a pretty good attitude, so it's sad. It's sad when you lose another one early, and you know he had a nice career. He really did. He was and nobody really had a bad word to say about him. One of those guys in the wrestling business that was great backstage, always looking to help somebody. Yep. So, and I know there's a GoFundMe out there for his, funeral expenses and stuff like that. So you could take a look at that on GoFundMe. But it was kind of sad day and another sad week in wrestling, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yep. He was in the FBI.
Yes.
Because he's Italian.
That's right.
Go. So
he and Tommy Rich, right?
Him and Tommy Rich and JT Smith. You fucked up. So yes, rest in peace, Tracy Smothers.
They're gonna have some marinara.
Some capicola, manicotti. Oh god, I'm making my skin crawl. Yeah, anyway, have a great week, everybody. Happy Halloween. Stay safe, whatever you do. We'll start talking turkey. As we're in turkey month. We'll be back next week. We will know who will be our semifinalists in the UWN World Title Tournament. We'll see who Leo Rush faced in his first match, and more. So join us next week. Until then, he's the doctor, and neither you nor I are.
You're the only turkey here. Ciao.
Okay, Lee Marshall.